In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the third article, we confess, among other things, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. Dr. Luther explains, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. The Holy Spirit is the one who gathers the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who sustains the church. He is its creator. So the church is not a building, neither is it a denomination. The church, neither do we have church. But you are the church. You are the holy Christian and apostolic church, for you have been called out of the nations. You have been gathered from the highways and the byways. You once were lost, but now have been found by God himself and have been brought to the Good Shepherd. The church is believers. It's not restricted to only those who will make it to heaven, but it's all those who trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Yes, sadly, some will grow cold in their faith and drift away. Others will persevere even to death. But nevertheless, all who believe are part of this holy Christian church. And that also includes all the saints who are in heaven. So throughout these midweek Lenten services, we ponder various aspects of this holy Christian church. Today we see that the church is one. There is only one church because her Lord and Master is one. He is the head, the church is the body. And within the church, there is unity. Not a mechanical, everyone is the same unity, but a rich unity in diversity. Even as the body is made up of many parts and yet form one body, so the church is made up of many different individuals, each possessing different gifts and ability and time and talents, and yet we are all one in Christ. Individual gifts are not abolished, but are placed in service to the body. The gifts of one belong to all. Distinctions and differences remain even into eternity. So when we say that the church is one, we are not saying that everyone has the same role. Neither are we saying that everyone has the same honor. But we are saying that we all belong to each other. All that we have is for the good of each other. Because the church is one, it is also complete and whole. Each local congregation is the church. It's not a fraction or a splinter. It's not only part of the church, but it is the holy Christian church. It is a physical expression of it. Space cannot divide the church. Neither can time divide the church. Not even the grave can divide the church. Those in heaven are united with us here on this earth. So we are one church with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one church with Peter, James, and John. They are triumphant. We are still struggling down below, but nevertheless, we form one church. So how can the church transcend time and place? How can the church be all believers united, regardless of if they are in heaven or on earth? How can we all be one? Through Christ. He is the head, we are his body. Those in heaven are united to Christ, even as we are united to Christ. Those scattered many miles away are united to Christ, even as we are united to Christ. The life that we have, we all share because it's the life of Christ flowing to each of his members. Why is our unity through Christ? Because he is the Savior. He is the one who bought the church with his own blood. He made her holy by washing with water through the word. He redeemed her. He saved her. He is her king, her bridegroom, her Lord, her God, her master. He is the Savior. So her hope, her happiness, her joy, her satisfaction, her glory is all found in Christ. So where two or three gather, there is Christ. And so there we find the holy Christian church. How are we united to Christ? Through faith. How is faith given? Through the Word and through the sacraments. The Holy Spirit brings us faith through the Word and through the sacraments. So we are all ruled and moved by the same Spirit, through the same Word. We all have the same hope of salvation because we all have the same Lord and Savior. We all have been washed in the same baptism. The same supper nourishes us all. The same Word sustains us all. The same Father is Father of us all. The same Savior has died for us all. So unity, true Christian unity, is unity of faith and doctrine. This is what Christ means when he says, "He who does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother." Doctrine unites us into one holy family. The will of God is that we believe in Christ. So when we speak of the unity of the church, we must speak of what is believed and what is taught. The Word creates faith. So the Word unites us to Christ and to one another. The Augsburg Confession puts it this way: "It is enough for the true unity of the church to agree concerning the teaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments." Christians of every day and age have longed for unity. It's a sad reality that we have so many different denominations, but we have so many different teachings of the Word of God in our day. Christians long to be united as one. But prayer, denominations, and a shared altar cannot unite us. Many look for unity in these external things, but they cannot unite us. Prayer cannot create faith. So prayer cannot create unity. Language does not create unity. Culture, time, and space does not create unity. Sitting in the same pew doesn't create unity. Giving money to the same institution doesn't create unity. Denominations do not create unity. Or following one pastor doesn't create unity either. Potlucks and social gatherings and conversations don't create unity. These are all external things. They do not create faith. They do not unite us to Christ. Therefore, they cannot create true Christian unity. So beware of anyone or any unity that is not grounded in the Word of God and in the sacraments. It doesn't matter if everyone agrees on the same thing. True unity is not found in consensus either. Adam and Eve were united in eating that fruit. Israel was united in creating a golden calf, and they even had a religious leader. The Jews were united in condemning our Lord. The Muslims are united, and so are the Mormons. If unity is based on anything other than the Word of God, then it is a false unity. So in our area, we see prayer services. And they invite all Christians of every denomination and all walks of life to come and unite together in prayer. Put aside your differences for the sake of unity, because we have bigger fish to fry. But what they mean is this: love unity more than you love your doctrine. So we cannot do it. We will not participate, for we cannot love unity more than we love the Word of God. As soon as we do, we lose that word. And if you don't believe me, then just look at Lutheranism's history, or even American Lutheranism. Where unity is forced, their doctrine always suffers. Unity apart from doctrine and faith is a sham. It doesn't exist. It's trying to create something that only God Himself can create. We cannot unite ourselves. For only the Holy Spirit can unite us to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can give us faith. And He doesn't use our prayers or denominations or even time, place, and ceremonies. He uses the Word and the sacraments. He uses the gospel. So go into all creation and preach that gospel of salvation Jesus commanded. And the Spirit works. Faith is created. And the church is gathered out of these many nations and brought underneath one shepherd. And we all are wandering through the same wilderness toward the same promised land, sustained by the same bread of life and drinking from the same waters of life. So the church is one, not two or three or many, but one. One holy Christian church, united together through faith into Christ. This unity is created by the Holy Spirit alone through the right teaching of his word and the right administration of his sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.